TNT Radio wants to know what you really think, because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's Soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Deconstructing PSYOPs, propaganda, and mainstream media BS. You're with Hesher on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
That's right. Thank you for joining us for this live program today here at today's News Talk. Really, really good show so far. Really enjoyed the appearance by the Odd Man Out. Be sure and get the Oddcast over at alternatecurrentradio.com. We had an interesting conversation, very free-flowing conversation. And who to thunk it, but in the second hour, Dr. Katibi was with me, and we ended up at a similar conclusion that there is some sort of larger scheme happening here with regards to the medical system, with regards to Big Pharma. And she got cut off, unfortunately, at the end there. But her point was, and she typed this out, that the human body is magnificent, and we need to tap into its magnificent strength to fight this system, whatever this system is. So however you want to define it, whatever works for you, you can call it the Illuminati, you can call it globalists, you can call it a pandemic industrial complex, you can call it a power struggle, tripolar, multipolar, I don't care what you want to call it, but whatever it is, it has no regards for that magnificence that she's talking about. It has no regards for your freedom, your body autonomy, and your right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, all right? Whatever that system is, it doesn't give a flying crap about any of that. Gun rights advocates sue to block Oregon's new gun controls, okay? So with Oregon's new gun law set to take effect in less than 3 weeks, the first legal challenge has been filed in federal court. This was another measure ballot right here, in my opinion, that was probably a drop and roll sort of vote. What a narrow, narrow margin. Passed with just 50.7% of the vote. So that's 0.7 of the population of Oregon there voting for unconstitutional gun control. I have a hard time believing Oregonians are into that. At that level. I know there's a lot of brainwashed people there, a bunch of commies there. Sorry to be so blunt, but Portland, you know, you've seen them. You got them walking around. I mean, for God's sake, you've got Stalin's granddaughter living there, LARPing around as some sort of Antifa-looking person. So I don't know. I don't know what to say. But Measure Ballot 114 requires Oregonians to go under a background check, a state-run background check, and take a class which does not yet exist to obtain a permit to purchase a firearm. It also bans magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. So, yeah, the 2A community is not pleased with this. They're not going to stand by. Gun Owners of America, Firearm Policy Coalition, are certainly, I don't even have to read through the rest of this to know that they are in on those lawsuits. And that vote should be looked at, I would say. You might want to have a recount on those if you're able to, if your V drives didn't disappear and then reappear, as happens in so many places. All right, what else do we got going on? Joint federal raid leaves Area 51 blogger still feeling traumatized weeks after the event. So a Nevada blogger reporting for years on the highly classified military base Area 51 says he's still feeling traumatized after FBI and U.S. Air Force agents raided his homes with a search warrant in earlier this month. He said, "I was never given a reason for the raid, nor have I been charged with a crime." His name is Jorg Arnu, owner of the Dreamland Resort website, which covers topics related to the heavily guarded airbase known as Area 51. So without warning, joint agents of FBI and Air Force Office of Special Investigations did a SWAT-style raid on him, busted open the door to his homes in Las Vegas and nearby Rachel, and ransacked his property. They took all his computer equipment, several laptops, backup drives, camera gear, a drone, you know, all the expensive stuff that makes you an able content creator. And there you go. What's up with that? What is up with that? That's like when the FBI raided Veritas and took the Ashley Biden diaries. It made everybody think, oh, wait, maybe they're actually real. So, oh, wait, maybe something on this guy's servers were actually real. Or, oh, wait, maybe this is just the Mirage men doing what they do to stoke UFO hysteria amongst the population so they can always have that fake alien invasion sitting in their pocket to use against us in case their COVID shenanigans and other stupid stuff doesn't work out, because the population's getting kind of wise to what you folks are doing over there, you Mirage men. All right, if you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, where you want, wherever you want. Visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're on all those platforms too, you know, those podcasting ones: Podbean, Amazon, Spotify, Google, Apple, iHeart, TuneIn. No reason to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
Headlines as they come in.
They have the breaking news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, it is that time again to welcome from thecurrentreport.com my co-host here to the show, CC Woods. CC, what's up? Welcome to the show. Where are you today? Where are you broadcasting from?
I am so live in San Francisco, California right now.
All right. Woohoo. Okay. Shout out to San Francisco listeners. Give us the pulse. Yeah. What's the temperature like? What's the culture looking like in San Francisco?
It was a little warm last night, not gonna lie. I mean, I feel like we're getting a little global warming, but not in the traditional global warming, you know, sense. It's like we are California. Been here, done that, but it wasn't nearly as cold as I thought it was going to be. So, but I'm looking forward to hanging out with my kid, my 34-year-old kid, and doing some Thanksgiving over here and continuing to broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
How are you doing over there?
Very good. Very good. It's a brisk and lovely day out here in Central Texas. Good day to go to the pistol or the rifle range, which might be what I do after the show today. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Love definitely. It. Love it.
Yeah, so try to get off 10,000 rounds a year. I'm going for 10,000 rounds into paper bad guys this year. So we shall see if I can get that far.
I think I'm going to have to embrace the firing range after the first of the year. I'm not going to be able to put
when
my
you move
mind
to
around
Huntington
that
Beach,
in December.
When you move to Huntington, I bet they'll have a great range there. Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me. I'm heavily considering that, especially with all the craziness going on. Did I send you that article from the LA Times about the Connick, the prosecutor, or I believe it was a prosecutor, one of the prosecutors at the DA's office, texted it to me yesterday. And it is, it's about the Connick scandal. And let me pull it up. LA prosecutor put on leave over questionable case sparked by election conspiracy theories. I mean, the LA Times is so biased. Look, I can be biased on here because this is talk radio. If I have an opinion, that's what we're doing. We're talking about our opinions about what's going on. But when I write for The Current Report, I talk about the cases and I present facts and evidence. LA Times doesn't do that. They basically called Kari Lake a QAnon faithful. Like, how do you even write that sentence in an article like this? I mean, it's so inappropriate the way they spin this, especially the stuff about the election. So you already know what direction they're heading in. Did you get the article?
Yeah, I've got it up right here. Very, very interesting, especially since we've been covering this Connect thing, like coming up to the elections. And then they arrest Mr. You. And it was weird. We covered that too. Like, isn't this strange that Gascon's office is involved in this arrest? And then as soon as the dust started to settle from the midterms, they let him out with a really strange statement, like, we weren't happy with the pace of the investigation.
Yeah.
And now they're the Gascon's office here is putting someone on leave for their involvement in it. So what I'm not really sure. I'm still always trying to understand this connect factor in our election, and the way that I think it's interesting the way that Mr. Yu was arrested during that same time period that the researchers from 2000 Mules were locked up too. It's almost like a message was being sent in that regard to that, to conspiracy theorists and deniers, if you will. And then this thing with Mr. Yu, I still don't understand it. Did that maybe open up some vulnerability in our voting system, perhaps, to have him not in charge of his own gear while this was going on? I'm just asking the question. I really wonder. Because they noted in, I think in Georgia, that the software one of the pieces of software associated with Connect is something called Poll Chief. And they were talking about how Poll Chief is integral to their election system, and there would be no time for them to change it out or audit it or anything like that. So I got to wonder if maybe just, you know, a conspiracy theory of my own or just an honest question. Why was he arrested? Why was it convenient to have him arrested during that period of time? Why was the software still being used? And was any audit done on it? And was it a red herring to say that he was arrested for having personally identifiable information of poll watchers on a server in China? That wouldn't surprise me if that was true, but it surprises me that it's a big deal to Gascon's office and they're going to go after some guy in Michigan, right? It just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense unless you follow the Soros trails, number one, and those always lead back to DC and who knows what else. Again, why Karen Bass miraculously won the mayor's race. I don't think she won. I think that's total bullshit. You know it. So I don't know. I'm going to be watching this. I do have my contacts inside the DA's office. I still am trying to make sense of, you know, this spin on by the DA's office, by Gascon's office, on this kid who mowed down 25 recruits. It still makes no sense. Just like this case that we're discussing makes no sense. You know, you go after it. Even Trump in the article, in the LA Times article, Trump apparently praised Gascon, which is, I looked at that sentence, I'm like, did I read that right? You know, praised him.
Oh, no.
And then now there's a total, you know, 180 on that case. So I got to find out what the background is on that one. And then the same with this, the recruits. So there was a quick lawyer up on that case. Why would this kid need to lawyer up so fast? Why?
And he make a public statement immediately too.
Exactly. And why did they take toxicology, and why did it come back so fast over other cases? And why did he submit to a lie detector test? Why did any of all that happen? Honestly.
He submitted to a lie detector test?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yes, he did. He submitted to a lie detector test. The kid had marijuana in his car. Okay, big deal. He had it in his car. So the toxicology came out clean. If you're not dealing it, you're doing it, right? And if you do it, it stays in your system for a good 3 months. So how does a toxicology come out clean? Lie detector come out clean? Like lawyer up with, like, you know, the ooga booga of, you know, getting you off lawyers, you know, that have
right.
ties
buddies,
to Gascon.
Buddies, like, of Gascon.
Why?
Friends of Gascon.
All of
yeah.
these things make no sense whatsoever. And I mean, it screams cover up. There's no doubt. But cover up why? On which side? So we're trying to figure that out. Now, the Connect one, we already know. I mean, Gascon probably rushed to try to get some attention on that Connect thing and get his little, you know, fingers in the pie. And then he probably got a shaking down of some sort and had to back off. Kind of like the Pelosi case.
I mean, this is
same.
Yeah, right.
Same.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And this is like, it is similar in that sense, because this isn't just ADA at Gascon's mm-hmm. office. This is Eric Neff. He's the deputy yeah. district attorney. So like yeah. if Gascon yeah. was, God forbid, hit by a bus, Eric Neff would take his position, I believe, right? So it's like they
I don't know how high up he is, but I will find that out. He's pretty high. Let's just put it that way. Yeah.
He's deputy district attorney.
Yeah. Well, there's a few of them.
Okay. So they've got, he's got multiple deputy district. Okay. Okay.
Yes, they do.
So anyways, yeah. but I mean, I've seen Eric Neff's name in other stories before. Like he's mm-hmm. sort of a politicized, you know, sort of name already, if mm-hmm. I recall. I can't remember where I've yes. seen his name, but I know he's come up in some of our discussions, some of the articles related to our discussions. So I don't know. Very, very weird. I wonder if maybe the LA District Attorney's Office needs to defend themselves from Mr. Yu now that they've had to pull that back. You know, can he counter sue them or sue them for anything? You know, maybe this is a move to cover their own butts.
Well, anybody can sue anybody for anything. It's whether a judge is going to take on the case, right?
Right, right.
So, I mean, it remains to be seen. Who did he sue? He sued somebody for defamation. The journalist,
right,
I believe, right? Was that it?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Which you, is that, that's not really a viable case, is it either?
No, it's not. I mean, proving defamation is so hard. It's so hard to prove defamation. If you want to dump, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more, into a case to prove your point, go for it. But, you know, you may not be able to prove it. You have to prove tangible losses. And I can't see how, you know, I can't see how that
right.
is going to happen.
You got to have that Johnny Depp money. You got to be able to take a beast like Amber Heard to trial and then go through right? that to get to right? the other side and see your money.
Right, right. So, yeah. I mean, you know, there are very, very few people that are able to succeed in suing for defamation. And, you know, the way people talk on the internet, you know, you can get away with so much. And especially if you're a public figure, you're screwed. I mean, even I'm considered mm-hmm. a public figure. People can go out and write stuff about me that is not true. And I'm really, I just kind of have to keep doing my thing and putting out my stuff and showing who I am so that people who make stuff up about me or people like me or public figures in general, that there's enough facts out there to prove that those people are out of their freaking minds. Okay. So
yeah, they are.
Yeah. So there's nothing you really can't, you can't stop people. It's a very hard case to fight. It really is. So, yeah. I am very excited to have Vern Pearson, who is the district attorney from El Dorado County. He is the one who actually, he's going to be on the show with us tomorrow, third hour. And he is the one Friday. Who actually filed the initial lawsuit against Gascon, representing all of the deputy district attorneys. And so when the directives came out, when Gascon was initially voted in and he announced his outrageous pro-criminal directives. Oh, there goes the chief. Okay, we'll get back to that in a second, chief. Anyway, so when he announced his outrageous pro-criminal directives, the Deputy District Attorneys Association said, we're not doing this. And they sued him. I have to find out what the status is of that case. Actually, Vern will tell us all about that. But go ahead, Brian.
Oh, I was gonna say, we'll hear about that on Friday, right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Friday. Yeah, not tomorrow. Yeah, Friday. And he also just made a recent statement about how his county is very hard on crime and how criminals are crying in their soup right now because they can't get away with crime in his county. And I can't wait to see and hear how hardcore he is on these criminals in his county. It just makes me so happy to hear about that. But let's go back to what Chief just said. So Chief just weighed in on the kid.
Let's actually take a break. We need to take a break here. So we're going to take a break.
Sorry, we'll be right back. I'm on like three cups of coffee right now.
You're listening to today's news talk, and CeCe's going to steamroll through the break, but we're not going to let it happen. Take a break. Drink some more coffee.
Alex.
We'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Joe Hoft.
Mike Pence, the vice president, who up till that time was somewhat questionable as far as, you know, where did he stand? He'd been relatively quiet during the Trump presidency, just stood there. Well, he comes out and announces while President Trump is speaking on a very cold day in Washington, D.C. My brother was there. There was numerous people I know that ended up there and said it was the biggest crowd they'd ever seen. At least a million people showed up that day to protest the stolen election. And during President Trump's speech, where he's just going through this battery of corruption, battery of questionable balance, President Trump's laying it out, and then Mike Pence drops a bomb that he's gonna certify the results. He says there's no, he has no option, he has to do it. And I believe that was a lie. And he had every option. And I believe that a good man would have done that. A good man wouldn't have said, well, you know, I have to do this. There's a timing issue here. No, I think a good man would have said, you know what? These results are not certifiable. I'm not going to certify them. But Mike Pence failed and failed miserably.
Joe Hoft on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing. We can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, you're listening to the Brian McClain Show here at today's News Talk. I'm joined by CeCe Woods from The Current Report. And yeah, very interesting stories we've got here to go through so far, CeCe. And with regards to the cadets that were working out in Southern California that were mowed down, the chief had something he wanted to weigh in with there with regards to the different types of toxicology reports mm-hmm. that are commonly used. What did he have to say there?
He said blood test is more accurate than a tox screen. Okay, that means that needs to be challenged. Thank you, Chief, by the way, because I'm going to add that to my article. I have a bunch of questions that are going to be highlighted in my article, as well as the theories behind this. One of the recruits that I saw a statement that was made by somebody who talked to one of the recruits, and the young man who was driving the car is blaming the recruits for his bruises. Well, the one recruit that spoke up actually said that when he got out of the car, he was trying to run away. So they tackled his ass, and those were the bruises that he got as a result of them tackling him because he was trying to run away, which totally makes sense. But you have to hear the whole story, and not they beat me up. It was they tackled me because I ran away. So, you know, look, when you plow into 25 people, what do you think they're going to do? Like pat you on the back? No, not happening. So,
and the fact that, anyway. And if that's true, and he did try to run away, That's evidence of a hit and run, right? Quite literally a hit and run. And that would kind of go in the face of the current statement, which was, I fell asleep. You don't fall asleep and run over 25 people and then run away because you fell asleep.
Either
you
way, say, it's still reckless driving.
Oh my God,
driving.
You come out and you say, oh my God, what the hell did I do? You know, and you don't run.
That, well, there was, I believe, evidence of the nurse, this African-American nurse that was speeding through an intersection. It was like, I don't know, back in April.
Oh, I saw
think she
that.
Killed like, yeah, I remember when she killed, I don't know, at least two people, if not more.
I think it was more like six or something. It
yeah,
was crazy.
Six. That's, yeah, six people. And there's evidence of her falling asleep. She's still in jail. Why isn't this kid arrested? At the very least for reckless driving, because if you fall asleep at the wheel, you're still responsible when you go behind the wheel. When you kill somebody accidentally, it's still involuntary manslaughter. It's got to be. You know what I mean? Now, this kid is in grave condition. The one that's in grave condition, I pray he makes it, but it's not sounding good. And I don't know. It's going to be very tough to get these recruits to speak up, especially those who want to be in the sheriff's department, because this kid has ties in the sheriff's department. So I'm sure they're putting the kibosh on anybody opening their mouths. I don't know. I mean, it's troubling every which way you look at it, but really super troubling on the DA's part in terms of, even if the sheriff, see, I don't know how this works. So we're going to have to talk to the chief about it, because let's say the sheriff's department is not doing their job putting this case together properly. A crime has still occurred. How do you not find a way to prosecute, even if the sheriff's department is lagging and not doing what they're supposed to be doing? There's enough there to prove that there is at the very least reckless driving, whether he fell asleep or not.
A crime still occurred. Well, he's probably thinking right now, I told you guys, if they can't build a good case in 48 hours, they'll have to rearrest him when they have a good case, and they won't want to submit it too early. So, I mean, in that regard, I'll hold my judgment until that happens, I suppose. But I cannot help but notice just how different this is being handled than a lot of other stories that we see.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just an observer sitting here watching the quote unquote news come through and wondering why it's so different in some cases, you know. So going to be very interesting to see how this comes out, because it seems to me like if he either a cadet is lying or the guy tried to run away. And if the guy tried to flee the scene of that, it seems to me that would be enough to hold him on for 48 hours or maybe even longer, you know, charge him with that and then add the rest of the charges after the investigation is complete. That would make a little bit more sense to me. Either that or he didn't try to run away, or for some reason he's such a golden boy that when he says, I didn't mean to run away, I was scared, and that's good enough to get let out and not charged. I mean, last I heard, that was not a very good excuse to give a law enforcement officer, that I didn't know, I didn't do it, I was scared. Usually doesn't
that's
get someone
unless,
very far.
That's unless your family is in law enforcement and pulling some strings on that side. So
ding, 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 ding.
The problem is, and it doesn't set a good example for everybody else out there who falls asleep at the wheel or whatever. They still have to take responsibility for their actions. They have to be held accountable. This kid cannot just skate with all the injuries that happen. His car insurance, whatever coverage he's got, there's no way it's going to cover, you know, the damage that he did, period.
Yeah, wouldn't cover the one person who had the most medium level injuries. It probably wouldn't cover that one person, much less 25.
Not even that. So I don't know. That's very troubling. The Connex situation, very troubling. The mayor's race is very troubling. Yeah. And this is all coming out of here.
And the media's coverage of it, very troubling. Yeah. The media's just like, tell us what to say and we'll say it. It's cool, guys. You know, we're not going to ask any hard questions over here. Like those crazy people over at TNT with all their suppositions and difficult questions for us. We can't have that. Let's take a quick headline with today's news talk, and we'll be right back with CC Woods.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Malaysia's king is set to hold a meeting with his fellow rulers on Thursday to seek their views on how to break the impasse in forming a new government, as the country's post-election stalemate continues for the fourth day. The UK Supreme Court has ruled that the Scottish Parliament cannot legislate for a second independence referendum without consent from the UK government. Japan scored late goals Wednesday for a come-from-behind 2-1 victory over Germany at the World Cup.
At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So, Cece, here's another story that is rapidly about to fall apart in the mass media cartel's hands.
Can't wait.
The Club Q... Club Q shooter, as it turns out, from Colorado Springs the other night. They told us the media came right out right away. No, right away with hate crime. DA even came out, hate crime. We're doing hate crime. This guy is some sort of cisgender, white male, you know, cockman, oppressor, psychopath, MAGA Trump terrorist. That's what this guy is. And, well, gall darn it, that narrative, it's really hard to keep that one running when in a new court filing, public defenders for the suspect in the mass shooting at a Colorado gay club that left 5 people dead say their client is non-binary and that they use they, them pronouns, and the lawyers refer to their client as not Mr. or Mrs. or Miss, but Mix, whatever, MX, MX Anderson Aldrich. So what happened to the schizophrenic, psychopathic, MAGA-influenced, internet radicalized right-wing terrorist? If that was the case, I'm guessing the pronouns would not be they, them. And guess what? On top of that, Cece, he is what we call a known wolf. Not a lone wolf, but a known wolf. This person has been interacted with by the FBI and the police before, has been picked up for threatening his mother with explosive devices at his house, and is the perfect candidate for some sort of shenanigans in a highly politicized event like this. But hey, they, them. So watch this story just get stuffed in the memory hole now, or to alter again rapidly. But I'm looking at the court filing here, and it is, I can confirm, in the court filing, they're using they, them pronouns, and instead of Mr. or Mrs. MX.
That doesn't really sound very QAnon to me, does it?
No. So this guy sounds like he might hang out with David DePap.
Oh my God, I can't wait for that body cam footage to come out. I hope I'm here in San Francisco when it does. So good.
Oh my gosh.
So good. No. Cannot wait for that. But hey, did you check out Ice Cube and turning down
$9 million because
he didn't want to get the jab?
Oh, wow. No kidding, huh?
$9 million. He said bye-bye to $9 million. And look at what he said. I'm going to let you say it because you always apologize to Mike when you do it.
All right. Reading from, let's see here.
New York
Post. Okay, New York Post. Ice Cube said, oh, hell no, to $9 million. The actor and rapper recently appeared on hashtag Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast to express his fury over losing a $9 million deal after refusing to comply with COVID-19 regulations. Wow. Okay. So Ice, oh boy, you're now restored as one of my heroes from
right?
the rap game. Man, not that you ever really lost that position, but I did my best to not pay attention to people like him that I've generally liked in entertainment for a long time during the last 2 years, because I'm
right.
always afraid they're going to go you know, pro-vaccine on me and I'll lose respect for them. I won't be able to watch Friday or, you know, other movies that he's been in that I like. But man, Hollywood people are starting to have to grow the balls to speak up finally. The fact that he even said that. He said, fuck that jab. That's what he said in the podcast. Mike. Fuck that jab. Sorry about that. But that's what Ice Cube had to say. And yeah. Much respect to Ice Cube there for that one. Because, you know, Tim, the actor Tim Robbins just came out. Yes. I mean, I mentioned this already, but Tim Robbins just came out and said he was basically apologizing to people for, you know, browbeating them and trying to get his followers to go take the jab, like he's realized. So even people that were among the COVIDian cheerleaders at the time in Hollywood are now feeling emboldened to speak out against it. So hats off.
Well, that's purely shocking, but hats off to Tim Robbins, because I believe Tim is still the partner of Susan Sarandon, a crazy liberal. Okay.
Oh my God. Yeah. And crazy COVIDian too, if I recall.
Right. Right. So for him to come out and say that, I wonder if they're still together. Because that's,
I don't know.
Like a, and I, that's a leap. That's a leap of faith right there. As a matter of fact, might have to Wikipedia that one.
I must admit, I didn't read the full statement. So it could have been like that COVID amnesty thing where if you just read the headline, it's like, oh, look, they're kind of apologizing. But then you get down to the bottom and they're like, we should investigate mandates for school children still, or, you know, something like that, that just blows the whole thing out of the respect zone.
Well, by the way, my source at the DA's office, we're going to go back to the Connick thing because I just got a nice long text.
I need to understand this more. Like, I'm still grappling with this one.
I know. Same with me. But he's been a champion in terms of, you know, speaking out, this person, this source of mine. So anyway, he said, with the DDA Eric Neff situation seems really bad. Number one, George has really lost the office. He knows nothing about being a DA and he's also a bad manager. Morale in the office is around zero. Okay, so just know that. We are short over 200 DDAs. So they have over 200. They're short over 200 deputy district attorneys. So we'll be able to talk more with Vern on Friday about that. Also, Joseph Iniguez, a person who also has zero experience, is now in charge of the public integrity division. An alcoholic who berated the police and was arrested and who refuses to turn over the video of the incident. Oh, I'm going to have to look up that incident because I remember
that. Ooh, that's juicy.
Is in charge of public integrity. Really? And he also is weighing in on the cadet incident because he and I have been going back and forth about that. The LASD cadet incident, I think we will have to wait until the investigation is complete. It just looks unfair for a person to run over 25 people, then be released in less than a day. Zero transparency. So, yeah, we did talk about that. We know about that, which
it's a bad look.
It is a bad look, and it just looks, I will have to talk with this person in depth. Vern's going to be able to tell us everything because he's the president of the Deputy District Attorneys, the California Deputy District Attorneys Association. He'll be able to tell us a lot about what's going on throughout California, if not the country, because I'm sure he's very well versed in what's happening in other Soros funded DA cities. And that is our forte over here. At least in the third hour, it is.
That's right. Watch out in that second and first hour. You don't know what I'm going to do, but third hour, I'm really enjoying it though, Cece. I feel like I'm getting a better sense of like how communities function now that I understand a little bit more about how the DAs play into that and the people that influence them and that they influence and. You know, and the midterms played into that a lot too, you know, and I appreciate his input and the chief's input and Moses and, you know, all the great people that we've had on the show. Cause I'm the type of person where if I was just sitting here by myself and not talking to subject matter experts, I would be a little bit more peeved about what we're seeing with this particular case. And, you know, having the experts around has really like allowed me to have a little bit more forbearance in my analysis of it, but it still stinks to high heaven, and it is a bad look. It's a very bad look when you compare it to, you know, the other kind of politicized stories that we get. If all stories and all cases were treated like this one, and we all had to wait until the investigation was delivered, and we all had access to see an appropriate amount of that, like public access requests and stuff, I think that our society as a whole would function a lot better, and the justice system would level out, and people would have more trust in the mainstream media. But the mainstream media is not interested in that. And apparently the justice system has been corrupted and subverted with activists, lawyers and judges and DAs and county recorders and, you know, state assembly people. It's just really weird to see the tapestry sort of start to wrinkle up a little bit here as it's becoming more and more public knowledge that this is the situation that we're faced with as a nation. And very interesting. But let's take a break right here, Cece. We'll come back. Think about that for a minute here. Have some more coffee. We'll take your comments on the other side of a quick break with today's news talk, and we'll do another final segment right here on the Brian McClain Show.
Global leaders want vaccine passports for travel. Oh, yes, it's back.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
A declaration signed at the G20 summit by world leaders urged digital COVID-19 certificates to, quote, facilitate seamless international travel. Here is an explanation direct from the G20 summit.
So let's have a digital health certificate acknowledged by WHO. If you have been vaccinated or tested properly, then you can move around.
Yes, that's right. You can buy your freedom by giving in to totalitarian demands for a mandated vaccine. They went on to say you can provide some movement of the people during lockdowns. They are already planning new ways to curtail your freedom. Are you going to accept this? Hell no. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio. Thanks for listening.
The bushfire was so unpredictable, it was important to have a plan.
We stayed up to date with our phones and the radio. We knew it was coming.
I never thought it would actually happen. I'm glad we had a plan.
You have to prepare your property and your family.
Always had a plan.
We can all be bushfire ready. Do your 5-minute bushfire plan today.
Childhood slavery. Proudly supporting a greener world. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. All right, Cece, I was blathering away there before we hit the break, but just kind of appreciating, standing back and appreciating the larger picture that we're starting to bring into crystallization here with regards to how we analyze our locals, you know, our states, our federal government, our states, and then our local governments. And it's become painfully obvious how troublesome it is and what a major factor it is to have activist DAs and activist judges and activist lawyers running around in our political and our legal system pushing for things that are outside of our constitutional rights, things that are outside of our traditional ethics, and fundamentally changing, as Obama would have said or did say, the very fabric of our culture. It's amazing how fast that has progressed since Obama uttered those words.
Yeah, again, I've seen a tremendous change in the way these activists slash politicians slash leaders slash whatever you want to call them, they have really truly changed the way our justice system works, and not for the good, right? They just have manipulated every single thing, and we're watching it happen right before our very eyes. And thankfully we have people who are coming on this show that are explaining to us how it really is supposed to be. And that helps us educate the public about what the real process is, what is in our California Constitution, what is in any of the other states' constitutions, as well as the United States Constitution. So it is, it's disheartening to see that it's still happening. But until we get a stronghold on the election process, especially in key states and key cities, we're still going to have more of the same. However, the court of public opinion is still important. And if we can continue to expose the wrongdoings, you know, they will end up having to step back. Paul Pelosi's situation is a perfect example. So eventually this body cam footage is going to come out. We're all going to see the truth. And those politicians who pushed and the media who pushed that narrative, they are going to end up like CNN in the toilet and MSNBC in the toilet. And so we just have to keep pushing for that, because the only way these elections are being won by these candidates that are, you know, uber left progressives is unfairly. Otherwise, if we had a fair election system happening right now, we wouldn't have these people in office. We'd be yeah. golden. We'd be golden.
We would be seeing spreads like we saw in Florida. We would be seeing yeah. if that system was intact and we didn't have that firewall of political and legal polyfair and legal fair mm-hmm. blocking people from, you know, submitting cases like Greg Stenstrom and Leah Hoops are trying to do. Mm-hmm. You know, if those firewalls were, those firewalls should not be there. It should be unethical and illegal to have that level of partisanship. Like, it's fine to have your bias and be a DA or a judge or whatever, but you still have to follow the law. You're supposed to be there following the law, and they're using the moral imperatives, the perceived moral imperatives of the leftist political identity to fundamentally change the way that cases are handled or the ways that even votes are counted. I mean, look what's gone on in Arizona. The vote has essentially been centralized. They changed Katie Hobbs in on that, and all of the states had the opportunity, faced a vulnerability while corrupt politicians and lawyers and other people set up these new centralized voting paradigms that go along with the imperative for the mail-in ballots, mm-hmm. all due ostensibly to the pandemic. How convenient was that to do these drop and roll scams that we keep seeing? And then when they get caught doing the drop and roll scams, there's nothing to do about it because the DA won't see the evidence. They just say there's nothing to see here.
Yeah. As with any of these cases, like the kid who ran over their recruits. I mean, there's two sides to this. So there's suspiciously something is definitely sus on the sheriff's department side. Why this case is not being put together properly. Okay. Maybe I'm just giving my opinion in terms of whether they're doing it or not properly, but my feeling is it just is a little suspect what's going on their side, especially when their recruits were ran over. They should be running after this guy and, you know, just going after him hard, not seeing that. On the other side, you've got Gascon and the attorney who are uber progressive, uber pro criminal. So they are making this kid out to be the victim and supporting him not getting in trouble for running over these 25 recruits who are at the sheriff's department because they are anti-police and probably loving every freaking minute of this opportunity. So there's two arms of justice here that are working for opposite reasons. And the end result is these poor kids who were traumatized and ran over are not going to be able to heal because of the selfish motives on both sides. And then that goes over back to the election cycle and not cycled, but the elections, the rigged, blatantly rigged elections, especially Kari Lake's. I mean, hers is the most blatant, I think. Is there not? Is there another election aside from our Carhartt wearing friend in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
I would say Kari Lake's, that election is probably the most blatant, in your face, stolen election next to 2020 that we've seen. Am I wrong?
Arguably Blake Masters, but that just proves your point because he was on the same ballot.
So there you go.
So, you know, and it doesn't make any sense. Like Arizona is pretty much a red state. I know there's the purple zones there where all schools and cities are and stuff. But for the most part, the zeitgeist there is pretty much fairly, you know, center right, I would say, just judging by the people I know that live there and my time there. And you look at the way they voted for their treasurer, and it was like overwhelmingly, it was like, you know, I don't remember the exact split, but it was, you know, sort of like Florida where it was just like, you know, tens of percentage points made that split for a conservative treasurer. I'm pretty sure it was treasurer I'm thinking of, and a couple other positions on that ballot. It was just like, why did that, what, how does that, how do you even explain that? Like a community that votes overwhelmingly for, you know, Republican positions in something like treasurer or whatever and other positions. But then the governor race is within, you know, you've got, it's kind of similar to like Brazil where you've got like 50.7 or like that firearm bill I was talking about out of Oregon, you know, not even one full percentage point ahead. And it's like, they're eager to call the race and, you know, before they're even done counting, and they drag it out and they have machines that don't work in Republican areas.
Oh my God.
Paper
it's
over
like,
here.
How can you even say that anything is, how can you say that anything is fair when you have proof of machines that were malfunctioning?
Yeah.
Help me. I mean, it's
I don't know
that there are machines and you're the head of the elections in that state. You're running for governor and you are going to come out knowing that those machines malfunctioned and you can confidently say that was a fair election. Are you crazy? I mean, seriously.
Exactly. Yeah.
A quick note, just a really super quick note. One of our listeners, Wayne, he's amazing. He did the research and Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon have not been together for years, left her for a far younger woman. Ouch. So anyway,
let's go back
to elections. So at least we'll look up his comment and see how different his mindset is after not being with her.
I wonder if his new wife or girlfriend is a organic human or a genetically modified one. I'm guessing organic or maybe has buyer's remorse. There's a lot of GMO people out there right now with buyer's remorse about their spike proteins. So, you know,
there's a lot of people that are having elections remorse too, by the way.
Yeah. The election virus. There is no inoculation against the election virus, folks.
Yeah, no, there isn't. But, you know, so when do you think this whole thing with Kari Lake is going to start shaking out, like really shaking out, not this BS we've been seeing lately?
I don't know. There's more shenanigans afoot, I'm sure, and it's going to be an uphill battle. They're not going to be able to, what they should do is they should do an honest recount or revote. They should do a revote on paper scraps on, you know, I'd rather see them use post-it notes than the system they're using. Cause I mean, it's a little bit of logistical gymnastics for me to even talk about who voted in what way when, as a former cybersecurity professional, I have looked into the cybersecurity posture on these machines and they don't pass the muster for me. So it's like, you know, you can take the V drives all you want. You can talk about this demographic and that demographic. But when it comes right down to it, the computers they're using, they're in many cases not doing the logic tests on them. They're not running the vulnerability and remediation tests on them. They're not upkeeping them. They're not locking them down. They're not following chain of custody with drives and thumb drives. They're using thumb drives for F's sake. I mean, that's totally frowned upon in military operational cybersecurity. And, you know, our voting systems, I would argue, are equally as important as our network operating systems and centers that service, you know, 6th Fleet, 2nd Fleet, 3rd Fleet, all the, you know, it's that important. And they're not treated that way. The computers are not treated in such a way that they're trustworthy. And then we got to sit here and look at fights going back and forth about researchers getting arrested for reporting on this and people that own software involved in it being arrested during an election and then sent out and then saying, sorry, we didn't like the pace of that. And we're going to put this guy on suspension from that office that pulled you. It doesn't make any sense, Cece. So I just lose it at the computer segment right there. So I don't know. Well, here we are. We're down to 20 seconds.
All right. Well, enjoy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Looking forward to Friday and peace out.
That's right. Thanks, Cece. All right, everybody. I hope everybody in the States has a great Thanksgiving. Don't wear a mask to Thanksgiving. Don't let anyone make you wear a mask to Thanksgiving. Don't bring a PCR test and stay tuned for Jesse Zerwell. Peace out.